One thing that kind of scares me about the human condition is how over time you just take everything for granted. You get into your routine, you get into the rut. Everything that used to excite you, if you do it over and over, you just take it for granted. Everything that's good about your life, you just take it for granted. We are on this hedonistic treadmill that if we stop being conscious about it, stop making an honest effort to ground yourself to the reality, we always want more. We're always see the bad and stuff, and we forget about our intentions, about the reason why we do what we do, and not something else, and not the other way around. And that's something I wanted to discuss with you, Michael, today on the podcast.
Okay.
So a lot of companies have this mission statement, you know, this bullshit corporate, you know, like, let's say we live in an alternate reality and Nosby is a big public corporation. We'd probably have a corporate mission for unlocking synergies to leverage individual productivity and create added value for stakeholders. No.
Whatever that means.
That. No. No one wants that. No. That motivates no one. No one cares. No one sees it and thinks anything about it. This sucks. But still, a company like ours, where we do stuff with our minds, where we create stuff, where we don't just make the most generic business you can think of, it is still an organism. Like, it's more than a collection of people that exchange labor for money. Like, sure, we do that. We exchange labor for money. But still, there is something that pulls us together to continue working together and push us in a common goal. And I think I was thinking about that recently because I, like everybody, every now and then I fell into this trap of sort of getting used to things and taking things for granted. And I forgot a little bit about one of the things that excites me about the work that we're doing at Nosby. Like, there are things about the job that I like. I like the creativity aspect, the autonomy, the open office, but why did I say open office? I'm sorry.
This is the home office.
Yeah. The remote work. But I also like that I really feel like I'm working on something that matters, that has real value. And I hope that most of us in the company feel this way a little bit. And I wanted to sort of as self-therapy, but also to explain, I think, what I think are our motivations for the reasons why we do what we do and not just, you know, get bored with it and move on to some other business and some other job. And I think the core of it is that the way people work, the standard way of doing work, just doesn't work. It's bullshit. I really think most of the, I don't want to use the phrase the potential, because that I don't want to avoid this corporate mission statement filter that people have. Because I really feel strongly about this, but I see this observing people, observing friends, observing myself sometimes, that most of our capabilities in terms of what we can achieve, most of our potential for creative work, for being productive, for doing good stuff, is locked away. It's inaccessible. We talked about this a few times on the podcast, how we keep thinking about this, keep improving this, keep talking about productivity. And the reason why is because we measured it. Like, we measured how much actual productive work, even us, the self-proclaimed experts on productivity, have. And it's less than we'd like. It's just so, so hard to actually direct your energies in a way that that is productive. And I think the reason why it matters is because it's soul crushing. It's horrible when you sit through 8 hours of BS every day just to survive. Like, yeah, it's sort of a privileged thing to say that, you know, we work not just for sustenance but also to enjoy the work. But when you have a job where you're doing some sort of work with your mind, and during those 8 hours you have to deal with total BS, your time is wasted on meetings, you're interrupted every second, you can't focus on doing good work, people do a lot of unnecessary work or duplicate work because they miscommunicate, this is soul crushing. Not to mention how horrible it is that you don't have any private space at work because you work in an open space. Not to mention if you have to commute to work every day and you waste an hour or 2 hours every day having to get to and from work. And there's many reasons for why this is so hard, and some of them are very difficult, but some of them I believe we can help with, and we do help with and have even grander ideas for helping with, because much of this has to do with bad tools, bad processes, and bad communication. And we've studied this problem for 10 years. Like, this is what we do. Like, we make tools, but we're a productivity company. We study productivity. We measure ourselves. We study how we do things and how to get rid of so much BS that we have, that we do, so many inefficiencies in communication and all that stuff. And we can provide better tools. This is software. And through the design of that software, we can inform and sort of guide people to communicate in a healthier, more productive way in companies and tweak the processes a little bit, and then the rest we can teach through blogging and books and this podcast. And I really hope that some of our more grand ambitions for doing this work, this good work, will pan out. Like, we still already have, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of users that presumably do better work and more productive work because they pay us, so apparently it's worthwhile for them. But there's that, and there's still a big chasm between what we see as the best standard for doing productive work and organizing people in organizations, and what we see in companies today. And I hope that this is why we do what we do. And yeah, does that make sense?
Well, it was, I think, the longest intro we had to the podcast. You mentioned several things, and I want to go through each of them one by one.
Absolutely.
So first of all, one thing is that when people work the way they work, either like we work and we advocate the way we work, like remote working and all the stuff that you mentioned, or people work in an open office in a big, you know, glass office in the center of a city, people take things for granted. And I think this part is really important. So first of all, the way we do what we do, we try to show and demonstrate and prove to the other, you know, to the other camp, that things can be done better. things can be done in a different way, that it doesn't have to be like this. You know, it's almost like this title of this new book by Basecamp. It doesn't have to be crazy at work. It's a very nice title. So, so one of the reasons, as you mentioned, why we do what we do is we want to show that there is another way. That's one thing, because people think, and it's especially it's very striking for me when I'm in a big city, like when I was right now in Warsaw, for example, and when I see these herds of people moving from one place to another and all this stuff, and I'm like, don't they know that there is a different way? And probably they don't, or probably they think that this is the best way, or that this is what people do and that's it. So I think this is, you know, this is one of the first things we have to tackle. So as you mentioned, through our software, through the podcast, through the way we work, we want to show and we want to have more influence, like bigger influence, right? Like yeah. we have 500,000 registered users in Nosby, but we know that it's you know, there are so many more people. There is like, or it's not even that, that different standards, different way of work should be advertised, should be shown to people, even if that if it wouldn't be Nosby, if it wouldn't be through us. But like, I hope that by doing what we're doing, we are contributing to just changing the status quo, changing the way work is perceived or doing things is perceived.
I think that's an excellent point, that we have our system. And the reason why I say system is because many of the things that we do and we advocate for are interconnected. Mm-hmm. It is difficult to do remote work when you don't first or don't also change your mindset about the way you communicate. If you don't switch to asynchronous communication, it's going to be difficult to do remote work. So a lot of the tools we use and the processes and the habits that we advocate for and we've developed in ourselves and at Nosby, they're interlinked. And that might not work for everybody or not all of it. And maybe if you pull one of the items, the rest of them won't fit fully. That's fine. Different companies also have different sort of base requirements. That's also fine. But I feel like there are many books and I don't know, paper magazines for corporate managers and stuff like that. And they're just scratching the surface on top of the status quo. But there isn't the mindset in people in general that the way we work doesn't work and that what we're used to, which is office plus emails plus meetings, essentially, and very synchronous head-to-head working together, is not the only way. Like, what we're describing is one system and one set of ideas that we've developed and tried to perfect, but to get there, we still have we first have to challenge people to think about this stuff, to question it.
And wake up.
If they come to different conclusions, that's fine. But people don't even think about it. People don't even question that there are very different ways, that this is all just tools. And just the way everybody does this way, it's just an accent of history. And now there's a plethora of options.
Yeah, and what really pains me to whenever I'm in these such conversations with people about, you know, how we work and how we get stuff done, the fact that they always say, yeah, that's good that you work, it works for you, but it wouldn't work for us because it doesn't, you know, work in the real companies, in a real environment with real problems. Like, I hate this because we are a real company. We exist. We don't. We have an address. Nobody goes there, but we have an address. but just like, so what is a company? Like, you know, right? So it's strange that people are not thinking about this stuff, and that's why, like, we are trying to shake things up and to really make them realize that they should be considering alternatives. The good thing is that some articles or some of our things do go through a little bit, but I think when they go through, we are still perceived like a unicorn and not like a, you know, a way that can be that, that things can work.
Yeah. And I hope we can do at least a little bit to try to change that, because just thinking about this is quite depressing and then motivating, because you're like, man, screw this. Like, what? Let's try to change that. Because like, yeah, you first, you know, like you and I get used to this, like what we do, and you just see the problems that are still there, because, you know, we have our own problems, everyone has problems, but you'll forget about this whole mountain of things we have figured out and we're doing very, very well. And then I remembered this and looked at this and I was depressed that, man, why don't all people have this?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. The cool thing about our work is that, as you mentioned, we not only do it through this podcast, through writing some articles, through me appearing in, you know, breakfast TV, but also...
Link in the show notes if you speak Polish.
Exactly. So, but the cool thing is that we ask ourselves, we ask these questions when we design our software. Yeah. And this is what I really love about our work, is that it's not like when we design Nozbe, it's not only about the UX, UI, whatever, like the latest trends of what was the new color of the buttons and things like that. No, we also think how this software should be designed so that it encourages good habits, so that it encourages change in behavior. And this is really a problem. How to change behavior? And Radek, whenever, as you know, part of my job right now is to talk to as many business customers as possible. So whenever a business customer signs up for Nozbe Business, at some point they will be encouraged to talk to me, to have a conversation with the CEO. And when I have these conversations, what I love hearing, and because usually these conversations happen like after a month, two or three, once they've used Nozbe. And the cool part is when they succeed and they explain to me what kind of shift, what kind of change happened in the company, you know, how they changed, how they took on new behavior, new habits, how it was hard because people were reluctant at first, but then they changed. And now they can't imagine not putting things in Nozbe in the projects or not, like, you know, it's so cool to listen to these stories and to see that, yes, you've affected a company, you've affected a group of people, and now they will not work as they used to. They will work differently. And they're like, this conversation with me is like, you know, the guy is saying, you know, or the girl is saying, you know, we work better thanks to your software. We work better as a team thanks to this. So this is, again, why I do what I do. Because this is so much fun seeing that people can change. Habits can change, but it's really hard to do it. But once you've succeeded, it's great.
Yeah. And affecting change is an extremely difficult thing to do. People, in general, don't like change very much. Sometimes they do. Most of the time, they don't. Sometimes people, when they're jolted into action, everybody does want change. But before they are jolted, they don't want to be bothered. So it's very difficult. And so I think it's interesting what we do. And, you know, you and I, Michael, we know a lot more than the listener of the podcast about our plans for next year. And how many things that will uncover in terms of executing on this vision and this goal of making people work better, and hopefully through making people work better and more efficiently and wasting less time, make their work and their life a little bit more a little bit better. But it's super hard. We do the blog, the book, and the podcast, and that's teaching. And that has the potential to affect greater change, in that when the change is big enough, like you need to be compelled, you need to be convinced that something is right, that something is better. And that's very difficult to do. The problem with that is that it doesn't scale very much. And then what you said about the design, that's very important but also very tricky. It's much more scalable because it's sort of for free. You figure something out once, and then not thousands of people listening to this podcast, but you know, hundreds of thousands of users experience it. But on the other hand, designing software with this idea in mind, it's very different from most kinds of app design, where you just think about how to design something so that the user immediately understands how to do something, so that it's the easiest thing possible. And that's very important, of course, but that's not the only thing for us. Another way of designing is how to maximize revenue or eyeballs or attention, how to make someone spend as much time as possible. And you do these little tricks, and there's this whole world of design and A/B testing focused around that. But this, you know, how to design something to make people's habits better is something that I wish more people, more companies, more designers talked about. Though it's hard because most of the people sharing their design insight work at startups that usually focus on the eyeballs, attention, revenue thing. But this is tricky, right? Like how to push people into a habit that we know will benefit them without putting a wall in front of them so that they have to understand something, so that we don't have to force them to change, so that they don't feel oppressed and feel like, man, this app is hard, it's BS, I'm gonna find something else, so that they don't even notice that we're pushing them just slightly towards something better. That's a very difficult balance to find.
Yeah, what you mentioned again is very important. We are striving for a different kind of engagement, like you know, and this is the thing. People engage with our application when they get their stuff done, So we have to design it. Still, we have to design it with some metrics, you know, that the people add tasks, people add projects, people add comments. So, and we try to make it as easy as possible. So we share this with other app developers, but we are not maximizing the time that you have to spend in Nozbe. We are maximizing time that you have to spend with your stuff that you have to do and mark it as done in Nozbe. So that's a completely different mindset, and it's completely different way of thinking. And it's really hard. But something that is really close to my heart here is this fact that really I can't see myself working for a company that is maximizing for the other thing. I can't see myself working in a company that is producing tobacco or things like that, you know, and saying, yeah, people smoke, whatever. So, for me, and of course, I'm not speaking from a privileged position. I'm happy that what we are building is something that helps people achieve their stuff. You know, it's a complete different thing, and not we're building something that helps people achieve Nozbe. No, people achieve their stuff through our app. So our app is this tool, is this, you know, hammer that they use, but it's not the goal. And it's tricky to design a hammer like that.
Yeah, two thoughts about this. First of all, like, yeah, it is a very privileged position to think this way. But I feel like not enough people in privileged positions, you know, people, software developers, for example, who have the ability to choose where they work, what they work on, they don't use this privilege that they have to do something that actually benefits the world. Like, I don't want to get overly idealistic about this. We make the best to-do app, the best project management app we can, and share what we know about this. But still, it's a project management app. It's a really good one, and like, we feel very strongly about this. Like, what I mean is, I don't want to make this sound as if we live in this bubble and think that we're the greatest, like the only great thing in the world. But still, what we do does matter. Like, if hundreds of thousands of people use this to work, then it does matter. It does have an impact. We might not change the world, and that's fine, but that's not the point. The point is that, you know, engaging in society, we put a little brick, and either it's constructive and we work to make something better, or we work to make something not necessarily better. You know, work to make something that keeps people's eyes glued to, you know, compulsive behaviors and scrolling through feeds, and so that they spend as much time watching at ads. Like, why would you do that if you're privileged enough to be able to work on something that has a definite positive impact on the world, even if it's, you know, at relatively small scale? The other thing about design that's really tricky is that we have to rely a lot on our experience and intuition when designing, because it's very difficult to choose the right metrics for it, because we want people to be as productive as they can be. We want people to communicate as good as they can, and it's difficult to translate that into easy metrics, into easy numbers, because we don't want people to spend as much time in Nozbe as possible. If they spend a lot of time moving around their tasks, we failed, right? If they make a ton of tasks and that's all they do, and it's not a tool that they spend 3 seconds on to make their life better, but they start organizing and managing and creating, you know, stuff that then they have to give up and clean up. Like, again, we failed, right? It's difficult to choose a good metric. And that's a big struggle.
Yeah. It's like, I've been, thanks to your recommendation, I've been recently watching again the episodes of Silicon Valley show. And these guys, like, they keep repeating, we want to make the world a better place. But you are completely right. So many people choose not to make a world a better place. They just say they do, but they really don't. And in our case, we chose this, and we're happy when we see that this impact. What I also like about what we do is we try to affect change. We try to by design, by what we do or what we do, but also we are not afraid to change as well. We are not afraid to take feedback as well. And this is something it comes to me very strongly whenever we do a reunion, and then we have some thoughts about it, and whenever we do a lessons learned like thing, either by just chatting together or by chatting in a group, a smaller group, a bigger group, whatever. But and this is something that I think, and we see it also in our team, that we have to learn to take even more, to really to be able to also change ourselves, you know? No, because one thing is that we are convinced we've got this good stuff going on, and we are, you know, working on it and designing it and then pushing forward. But another thing is to see that things can still improve and can still be changed and can still be, you know, and we should be able to not to be solid in our ways, but be able to change and be able to take something and accept that we have failed somewhere, that not failed, but, you know, but we haven't done something correctly, and correct the course and improve the course. And you know, be conscious about it. So I love that. I love that when I come to work, it's not going to always be, Michael, you're great. Yeah. Very often it's going to be, Michael, yeah, it was nice, but look at this and this.
No, but no.
But no. So it's also why I love this work, because I know that I'm going to get some feedback and I will have to be out of my comfort zone. I will have to be accepting I just made something wrong and you know, getting conclusions from that.
Yeah. So I have a short list. I'm sure I forgot half of the important parts that we figured out and we discussed on the show, but I have a short list of sort of values or important things that people at large have not yet accepted in their work lives and we think are very important to improving the way we work and making ourselves more productive. First of all, offices are way overrated, and open offices in particular suck. And remote work is pretty great. Okay, sure, not for everybody. I accept that. That's fine. But it's barely accepted at all. And usually when it is done, it's like, you know, one person at the company can work from home one day a week and still has to attend all the meetings just on the internet. That's not how it's done. And just the amount of sort of liberty you get that to be able to live wherever you want, to schedule your day, your life the way you want, for employers to be able to hire people from anyone, to not have to waste time every day commuting, that's pretty great. And it's not something that has yet been accepted in general. Second of all, asynchronous communication matters and should be the base of communication in the company. This is a whole big concept and we discussed this on the show, so we'll just put the links in the show notes. But when you tap someone on the shoulder and ask them questions whenever you have a question, when you have to be in the same place at the same time to do some work, it's very inefficient, very unproductive. It's much better to mostly communicate asynchronously. Put something out there so that someone else can respond and pick up where you left off on their own time. It's very important and rarely done. Meetings suck, and you should strive to have as few of them as possible. Email sucks. And in general, we need good tools and good ways of organizing stuff to deal with just the immensity of information that modern work requires. When the way you communicate between each other is either through meetings in person or through email, there's too much information going on, too much information that we deal with for those tools to work efficiently. We need better tools. There's just too much stuff that's going on in our work lives. Next up, long stretches of focused, uninterrupted, deep work is extremely important. That's like the base of everything. A lot of companies focus very much on collaboration. And I don't know, maybe there's a historic reason for that, but that feels very strange to me. Like, of course you'll collaborate with other people, but that's not the base. You collaborate to get feedback. You don't collaborate all the time. You need long stretches of deep focus, uninterrupted work to be able to do your best work, because it takes time to get deep and be able to do your best work. And when you have meetings all the time, when you have an open office, when you communicate synchronously by tapping each other on the shoulder, you can have long stretches of focused work. Next up, candor. For a healthy, efficient organization, you have to be able to become a freaking adult and give each other pure, unadulterated, unfiltered feedback. People in work situations still have this this feeling that they have to hold back, that they can't say fully what they think to their coworkers, and certainly not to their boss, because they will get mad or they will feel that their feelings are hurt. and they're just toxic. You can't improve when you can't talk about things that suck. And when you have to go through long, painful process for everybody to be fed up with something that's very deeply broken, for something to change, because you can't come up to your boss and say, hey, you know what, this is this sucks, we should change that, then it's hard to get very far. And the smaller problems will never get fixed. And last but not least, self-reflection and just this constant iteration of both the whole company and groups and every member of the company to tweak and improve their part of work. When you have to be told top-down that something has to change, then the whole ship is difficult to change and steer, because only big problems over a long time get fixed. And when you're a worker and you have your area, you're the person with the most expertise on the thing you're working on, the thing you're building, the process you're dealing with. You are the best person to realize that there's a better way to do something. And we still focus in general in companies on this very top-down approach that things have to be mandated and standardized. And sure, I get it. When you have a giant corporation with 50,000 people, then that's different. But and it can become very difficult to get anywhere without some sort of top-down command. But most companies are small companies, and they still try to pretend that they're big corporations. And that just sucks. That doesn't work very well. That's it.
Okay, I have a few comments. I think you made really good points, and I want to comment on each of these just to add a little bit more. So what you said about commuting and telecommuting or telework, remote work, whenever people ask me about it, you know, who is good for remote work? Who can do remote work? I'm like, so many people. Just think about it. You're stuck in traffic, traveling to a place to sit in front of a computer. Like, really? Really? You can sit in front of a computer in a different place. There is no one right place to be sitting in front of a computer. And this day and age, most of the people work with their minds using a computer, whether it's an, you know, desktop, laptop, iPad, whatever. Second, what you mentioned about feedback. Thorough, especially asynchronous work, thorough feedback is not standard. People are not used to giving thorough feedback. What they're used to doing is like, I don't like it. Like, you know, just glancing at things. And this is really bad. This creates a really bad culture. Like, when I've created something, I want to show this to you, and I'm asking you to take a good look at it. And not just tell me your hunch or your, you know, first impression. I don't want your first impressions. I've just spent hours on this. Please give me good feedback. Please let me know what you like and what you don't like. And this culture is almost non-existent in normal companies. So this is really, really hard. Meetings. It's not that meetings suck, but, well, that as well, but also that meetings, people are not prepared when they have a meeting, so there is no agenda, nothing like that. And second thing, people don't get it that meetings should be optional. Every meeting should be optional. Even if it's like the standard meeting you do every week, if you don't need it, drop it. Like, the meetings should be optional. And we know this. We have regular meetings every week. I have a meeting on Monday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. All of them are optional, and all of them vary in length depending on agenda. But there has to be an agenda, and then there has to be a reason for us to meet. Also, what you said about criticizing, about giving feedback, is also and not giving enough honest feedback, is the fact that people are still not used to criticizing ideas. Because they are afraid that if you criticize an idea, you criticize the person. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking about this the other day with my daughters, because one of my daughters said, she is stupid, about a girl. And I said, no, she is not stupid. No person is. She just made a stupid thing, but she's not stupid. And it's a different thing. You know, it's a different approach. Like, you have to criticize what she did and not who she is. Because it's not you to be judging who this person is. But you can say that you believe that what she just did is not correct, is not good. So people just take too much ownership, too much ego into what they've done. You know, okay, you spend lots of time doing this, but is it really good? Let's focus on the purpose it brings. Let's criticize this, not you. You're a great person. You've built it, but let's see how good it is, and let's together decide if it's good or not. So people are not used to this kind of thinking, and it's really hard. And you just mentioned to me when we were discussing things about our reunion that even our company, people are still holding back. You know, you have to really pull their tongues to really ask them to speak up, and it's heartbreaking because we want to make sure that people give us good feedback, because if they don't, we will not advance, we will not move forward. So it's really, really important.
Yeah, this is one part even we still struggle with, and sort of realized again recently that, hey, we thought we were better at this. We sort of, you know, you and I internalize this deeply, but not everybody. It's just so deeply ingrained in our culture and in our very primal instincts not to disrupt the peace in the group and not to offend someone who has a higher status, it's very difficult to institute a culture that gets past this. But every time we get closer to our ideal, and over time we do get better and better and better at this, it just, we can achieve more because we actually take advantage of people's expertise and intuition to do better work, because we don't just lose, you know, two-thirds of or more of what people think just because they won't say it. And that's very soul-crushing when that happens.
Yeah, I see that, you know. Also, as I mentioned to you several times, I'm involved with the Parents Association at the school. And over there, you can see it so clearly. Like, people don't want to speak up when something is not correct or wrong because they don't want to offend somebody. And I always repeat, and on every meeting we have there, I keep repeating, guys, I'm sorry, I didn't come here to make friends. I have enough friends already. I came here to get stuff done. And let's focus on these things that we want to get done, and not on if the fact that it might offend somebody or somebody might not like it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's heartbreaking. And what you mentioned also, that people don't take time to stop, to breathe in, to reflect. We don't have enough feedback loops again, because we are not used to feedback. But we are to responding to feedback. That's why we don't have the feedback loops built in many places. And this is so important. I mean, we know this. Like, we are trying to build up a feedback loop in everything, because when you look at nature, the feedback loops are built in so many places, you know, and we as humans try to get rid of them because of the feelings, because of the change, because of all these things. And it's crucial. It's crucial to that we take our time. That's why we do Fridays. We do TGIF, because we want to have this margin, this time to stop, do our review, think again, get some conclusions and move forward faster and better.
And that concludes our self-healing, self-therapy session of the podcast. We might not be on our path to curing cancer, but if we can actually make a meaningful change in the hundreds of thousands of customers so that their work is better, so they don't waste time, so that the culture and companies, maybe a fewer number than hundreds of thousands, but still, if companies change a little bit, and if thousands of companies adopt even one of those ideas, that would be a very big achievement for us. And yeah, I think that that's important. If you are privileged enough to be able to do work that you believe that matters, that's more than just cranking out widgets, then yeah, having a good reason to do what you do, that feels pretty good. That feels motivating to keep on that goal.
Here's to making work that really, really matters.